Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories in Sarcasm. I'm your host, Brian, and I'm with Mary. And welcome to episode 5.
Today we have 3 segments to talk about. Segment 1 is a summer movie preview. Segment 2 is a Bachelorette update on the most recent episode. And segment 3 is Ask Brian.
So this week, the big news is my mom is thinking about adopting / rescuing a dog. So I'm going to have a puppy soon. And I'll be sure to post pictures for you guys to enjoy. I'm not sure what kind of breed the dog's going to be, but it's probably going to be one that doesn't grow out to be, like, super big. So probably at full age or when it's an adult, it'll be probably smaller than your kneecap.
If you know me, you know I love pickles. And so my roommate, Ashley, just discovered that she can make pickles in her sous vide. And so we're going to be testing that out. And then also, this Sunday, I'm going to the Ali and AJ concert in Seattle. Ali and AJ are an old Disney Channel group. They sang songs like Walking on Sunshine, Potential Breakup Song, like Whoa, all the classics. And so they're coming back, and they're coming to Seattle. And I'm going with a few of my high school friends, so I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, so for our first segment, we're going to be doing a summer movie review. And my first movie of the summer is Ocean's 8, which is already in theaters. Some prominent actresses include Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling, and Rihanna. And the premise of the story is these women get together, they form a team to steal jewelry from the Met Gala.
It looks really funny.
It seems like a comedy as well as an adventure movie. So that should be good for a lot of people. I'm not sure if it's family friendly, but I'd say if you're over 16, you'll be good with it.
The next one is definitely family friendly, though.
Yes, the next movie is Incredibles 2. And believe it or not, it's been 14 years since the first Incredibles. And something interesting about The Incredibles 2 is it's a direct sequel to The Incredibles. So there's no time lapse or anything. It's immediately picking off where Incredibles left off. You know, Jack's still a baby and all that. Some important points about this movie is Mrs. Incredible is going to be the main character. She's the superhero that promotes the image of superheroes by fighting bad guys. While Mr. Incredible is going to be a good dad, taking care of the baby and helping his teenage kids, Violet and Dash, go through puberty and all things related to puberty.
I'm really excited about it. Like you mentioned, it came out in 2004, so 14 years ago. We were only 10 years old. We were like the same ages as most of the characters, and now we're adults, but the characters are still the same age as they were before. I'm really excited about this one. It seems like one of those movies that's going to be living up to the hype as much as like Finding Dory and Toy Story 2 and 3 did. What do you think?
What I'm excited is it's just another Incredibles movie. You know, the first one was so good. I don't even care what's in this movie. I'm going to watch it. And then I'll be a critique of it afterwards, as I always am. But, you know, I'm definitely going to go see the movie regardless of what the trailer looks like. And it looked good, just saying, just for the nostalgia factor. And I need to know what's going on with Dash, Violet, and Jack's lives, of course.
Yeah, so The Incredibles 2 is coming out tomorrow, June 15th, so I'm super excited. Also coming out tomorrow is Tag, which is a movie about a group of friends who, at 9 years old, created a game of Tag that they played through the month of May. After 30 years, it was the thing that brought them back all together every year. Even when their lives took them in different directions. Something that I found interesting is that this group of friends is actually a group of friends that went to Gonzaga Prep in Spokane. Another great thing coming out of Spokane. I think it's just a take on what their game is, and this should be definitely more action-packed than their game probably is, but it's still full of good actors. Again, it's Ed Helms who's in The Office. Lots of Office actors are in the movies this summer, actually.
All right, so my next movie is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and that's going to be in theaters June 22nd. And the island where all the dinosaurs are living originally, there's a volcano, and they basically have to save the dinosaurs because Unfortunately, the company that owns the dinosaurs regards them as like intellectual property. It doesn't really care about their well-being, but they want to save the dinosaurs for their own purposes so they can continue to get money from attractions and stuff. So they grab the dinosaurs and ship them to the mainland. And as you can guess, things go horribly wrong and the dinosaurs escape and start munching on some people, which I guess is tasty for the dinosaurs and kind of scary for everyone else. There is going to be a new dinosaur in this movie that's not an actual historical dinosaur. It's going to be a genetically modified one, just because scientists were, pushed to make a scarier dinosaur for everyone. And yeah, so
I'm
that's going to
looking
go
forward
horribly
to
wrong.
this one. That's coming out next Friday. So this weekend, The Incredibles 2, next weekend, Jurassic World. So many good movies coming out this month.
Yeah. And then one more movie that I'd like to share with you guys is Mission Impossible Fallout, which is a little bit later on in the summer. It's July 27th, so there's going to be a little period in between these great movies. Of course, there could be some other ones that you might want to watch. So basically, in Mission Impossible, Ethan Hunt, who is the main character, is he basically, since he's an agent, the government can't say that they're associated with him because he's off doing spying and technically illegal things. So they have to disassociate themselves with him, and he's like a rogue by himself in a foreign country. And he basically has to navigate his way back and survive all the bad agents, as well. I'm hearing from the trailer that the American government, which he works for, is also sending their own agents because they think that he somehow double-crossed them, and it's a crazy crossfire of everyone trying to kill this poor guy. But, I guess he signed up for it, so we'll see how that goes. So that should be a fun, action-packed movie this summer, as well as actually all of them. Do you have a favorite of the list, Mary?
I'm definitely most looking forward to seeing The Incredibles 2, just like we've mentioned before, nostalgia. How about you?
Yeah, Incredibles 2, definitely. The rest seem like you're just your summer average summer blockbusters. This one's like we've said, 14 years in the making, so it's gonna be excited.
Well, yeah, we all kind of grew up with all the Pixar movies coming out every summer, and so I think it just continues to keep getting better and better.
Agreed.
So for our next segment, we're going to do a quick Bachelor recap of the most recent episode. I believe this is the third episode of this season, and they're still in California. Becca's still trying to find love. The episode started with a group date where Becca and some of her girlfriends from Ari's season, the last season of The Bachelor, wanted to get pampered. So they had about six guys come, and one of them, Colton, had actually dated Tia, who was one of Becca's friends, and so things got a little awkward because Colton didn't know that Tia was going to be there. And then Jordan, the male model, he thought he was going to be the one pampered on this date, but it turns out he wasn't, even though all the guys ended up getting their fingernails painted by the girls. But anyways, later in the date, there was awkward tension between Colton, Tia, and Becca. But then when Becca went to go talk to him about the situation, he said he had 100% had feelings for her and not for Tia anymore. So somehow he got the group date rose. What did you think about that part of it, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that just goes to show how much Becca actually liked Colton, I guess. Because if the only thing that was holding her back from instantly giving him a rose was the fact that he probably might have been on The Bachelorette for the wrong reasons. The wrong reasons being to potentially get engaged to Tia instead of Becca. And once he cleared that up, that she's like, okay, well, you can get to the next round right now. I think that's an indicator that she probably like mentally has him in her top three or something like that. What do you think about that? Do you think she likes him?
I mean, yeah, I think that she was pretty shook from the fact when she found out that he and Tia had dated before when he dropped that bomb on her last week. So she was just trying to get over that, and I really just hope that he's telling her the truth and that he's actually there for the right reasons. Because basically, from what they showed us on TV, she's like, "Are you here for the right reasons?" And he said yes, and she's like, oh, okay, good. Gave him a hug, gave him the group date rose, and I was like, really? Like, that's all you're gonna ask him?
Yeah.
A little bachelorette prediction. So my first prediction went horribly wrong. My guy basically got kicked off in the first episode. And this is mostly because he basically said, "I want to meet you there 40-60." And basically he would imply that she would have to do 60% of the work and he'd only have to do 40% of the work. So that's just terrible intro. That was like his intro. So he got booted instantly. And I'd like to amend my winner to Colton. I think Colton's gonna win the whole thing.
Oh,
You heard
really?
it here first. Colton's gonna win the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay, well, also, I don't know if you know this, but Colton also has a history. He has dated U.S. Olympian Allie Raisman, a gymnast, in the past, and so I don't know if he's going to win. He's kind of just on the celebrity train, trying to just date any old celebrity that he can find. But, anyways, to move on from that, after the pampering that went on earlier in the day in this group date rose at night, there's a little bit of awkward tension between Jordan, the male model, and David, the chicken guy. Jordan was he was going on and on about how he had 4,000 Tinder matches and that he has a 100% match success rate, which I don't know if that's possible. That just means that every time that he swiped right on a girl, 100% of them swiped right on him too. But I don't think that's possible. Anyways, David, aka the chicken guy, he tattled on Jordan, and Becca weirdly went up to Jordan and was like, "Hey, 4,000 Tinder matches, congrats," and gave him a high five. What did you think about that interaction, Brian?
Well, when I first saw David and Jordan, I actually liked David a lot more than Jordan. Jordan seemed really superficial and he only cared about his appearance and all that, while David was the guy in a chicken suit. So obviously he didn't care too much about his appearance unless he wanted to give the appearance that he didn't care about his appearance, or he really likes chickens, one or the other. And he was more the personality type guy, while David was the personality type guy, while Jordan was the looks kind of guy. But David kind of rubbed me the wrong way when he tattled, as you said, on Jordan. Like, it's kind of, and you don't really do that. You don't like say, "Oh, this guy over here is super attractive. What do you think about that?" That's a low blow, I would say. Do you
So
agree with
then
that, Mary?
I agree. So then later that night, there was an incident in the mansion, the Bachelor Mansion. It was the most dramatic fall in the world, as Chris Harrison might say. There were so many previews about how someone got really hurt and had to go to the hospital, and everything Chris Harrison does is dramatic. And so when he went to Becca's room to tell her the bad news, it seemed like something really bad had happened, right? But it turns out David the chicken guy just. He is not used to sleeping in a twin-sized bunk bed. He's so used to his king-size bed that he fell out of bed, and all of the guys were commenting that there was blood everywhere and there was an ambulance and all that stuff. What did you think about that? Have you ever fallen out of a bunk bed before?
I don't even think I've fallen out of a bed, regardless of whether how high it was up. This might be a good moral of the story, is to get carpet floors and not linoleum or wood or whatever they had, because you don't want to break your face on the floor. I actually thought when they were previewing it and leading up to it that Jordan like attacked him or something like that, because he was getting under Jordan's skin.
I thought so
And
too.
but no, I guess he just was tossing and turning a little too much in sleep.
Yeah, so then he's in the hospital still when the episode ends later, and the big anticipation is next week he comes back for the rose ceremony, but they blurred out his face. I really don't think that his face is going to look that different. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's Jordan that said it looked like his face had been mauled or something. So, Jordan, like, he's a perfectionist and kind of stuck up. So, if he had like if his face is slightly redder than normal, he's going to be like, "Oh my God, it's atrocious," or something
Yeah,
ridiculous like
he
that.
probably
I
has
think it's
like
he
a
probably has a
broken
few
nose.
cuts. Yeah, broken nose, might be a little twisted, but so long, nobody has to see that as long as he's in his chicken costume. I don't think it's that serious.
Yeah, I agree. Next up is Chris's one-on-one date. I didn't really know much about him before this date, honestly, but they went to Capitol Records in LA or in Hollywood or something. And then he was put on the spot to write a love song for Becca. Richard Marx was there to help him. I've never heard of him before, but apparently he's known for his songs, specifically love songs. Chris kind of had a meltdown, though. He had a little sob story about how he wrote a letter to his estranged father when he was younger, and his dad never replied. So he kind of was telling Becca, "That's why it's so hard for me to write a love song for you." But really, Brian, like, this is their first date, basically, ever. How is he supposed to know if he even loves her, let alone, like, be able to put those feelings into song form?
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for him there because, first of all, not everyone is artistically talented enough to create a song like that. And having the pressure, like, what if he really messes up? Will Becca just, like, kick him out right there? Probably not, but it's still a lot of pressure. And yeah, well, it turned it out all right. Apparently, it was all gushy and emotional. So people usually like that stuff on love songs. So it turned out to be a pretty good song.
Yeah,
What
he
did you
ended
think
up
about that?
getting the one-on-one rose, so he must be a pretty good songwriter. I can't wait for his album to drop if he
Here,
becomes
here.
famous after this. And then lastly, there was a football group date. It's another group date, but Clay and Colton are the two NFL players on this season. And Clay was on this date, which I think is pretty unfair. He plays football for a living, and so why would he be on the football date with all these other, amateur football players who some of the guys probably have never played football before? But the ironic part is Clay actually hurt his wrist and he had to go to the hospital. So many hospitals in this episode. And spoiler alert, he decided to leave the show and go have wrist surgery. And because he thinks it's more important than staying there for Becca. What did you think about this, Brian?
I think, while that might not be as dreamy and great for headlines, it's probably the smart decision. I mean, he is does have a family he mentioned to take care of with his footballing career, and if he doesn't have that, who knows what he'll be doing? Maybe he'll be one of those banjo players on the side, like we mentioned in the preview. All jokes aside, I think he really should just go home and get his wrist fixed because that. Being able to take care of yourself comes before a potential love, I would say.
Exactly. He's
What
still
do you think?
competing
Yeah.
against, what, 20 something guys, probably, maybe it's 15 or so by now. But yeah, he needs to be able to take care of himself and his wrist. I liked Clay though. He seemed like a nice guy, but he made an intelligent decision for sure.
Yeah, and that's what kind of you could see Beck was pretty sad about that because he seemed like a nice guy. He was, he was a nice guy in winning his football game. Actually, I believe they tied, which kind of makes it even more suck that he got injured in a tie. All right. Anyhow, I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. He seemed like actually a good fit for Becca, but I guess the stars just didn't align, and the world will never know what could have been.
I really did think that he was going to be maybe in the top four or top three, but we wish the best to Clay. And the episode ended there, and the rose ceremony will be starting up, I believe, at the beginning of the next episode, so I can't wait for that. So for our third and final segment this week, we're going to be doing a new one called Ask Brian. We asked you guys to send in questions for Brian for him to give advice or whatever, and so far we just had one person write in, and it's Carrie, my coworker. She wrote on Facebook, "Toby is a Scranton strangler. Change my mind." So I just wanted to give all of you a little background information before Brian states his case about why he thinks Toby is not the Scranton strangler. The Scranton Strangler is an unseen character on the show The Office who strangles people in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Toby, the HR guy at Dunder Mifflin, serves on the jury for his case in the show, and he's very obsessed with the Scranton Strangler throughout many episodes. Even though the show ended like 5 years ago, tons of fans have written theories about why they think Toby is the Scranton Strangler. And here's a few reasons why people may think that. Toby is absent in many scenes where the Scranton Strangler is mentioned. In the first time he's mentioned is in season 6 when Pam and Jim give birth to their baby Cece, and Andy gives them the newspaper from the day Cece was born, and the headline has something to do about the Scranton Strangler. It has been known throughout the whole series of The Office that Toby has a big crush on Pam, which is why he may be absent from this episode, and when he may have first strangled someone just out as an outlash from the birth of Cece. And then in another episode, there's a police having a car chase with the Scranton Strangler down the street of the Dunder Mifflin building, and Toby isn't in that scene. In fact, they show the car going down the street on the television that all the characters are watching this car chase on. And then in another episode, the exact same car is in the Dunder Mifflin parking lot. So, is that Toby's car? Kind of leads to it. And then, lastly, Toby leads a sad and depressed life. He's not only divorced, he's also, you know, deeply scrutinized and hated on heavily by Michael. I think he may sort of lead a double life, like Hannah Montana, but instead of being a normal girl and a pop star, he instead works in HR at Dunder Mifflin and is the Scranton Strangler. Now, Brian has only watched The Office up to about, you know, the middle of season 7. He's still getting through it. But, Brian, what is your take? Why is Toby Flenderson not the Scranton Strangler?
All right. Well, that's a pretty compelling case. However, my case is going to be for Creed Bratton. And basically, my case is going to be revolving around the fact that he's just really sketchy and weird. So he's extremely dishonest. He lies a lot. He runs a bunch of scams in the office. He faked his own death. And so that's not really normal now, is it? In season 4, the fun run, he admits to being involved in a religious cult, claiming you can have more fun as a follower, but you can make more money as a leader. That's true, but usually if you're in a religious cult, I'm not saying you're necessarily a psychopath or anything, don't get me wrong, but you never know. He's apparently a kleptomaniac, so that basically means he likes stealing things. An example was Phyllis got a gift card for her wedding, and he basically tears the card off and pretends that it's his own. That's pretty pretty evil. Not necessarily up to strangler status, but he will be getting there, don't worry. When asked of his age, he replied, it varies depending on what suits him at the time, which, you know, sounds really creepy, actually, depending on, because there are certain societal limits on what you can do at what age. So that's just really weird. He states that he's 82 at one episode, and then he tries to make himself look like he's 30 by dyeing his hair black with black ink from the printer cartridge. Definitely a weirdo moment as well. During one of the poker games in the episode titled Casino Night, he admits to stealing things very frequently, and he said, it's just something that you do. Either he's a Scranton Strangler or he's the world's most avid thief out there. Why not both? let's see. During that poker night, he stole like a lot of chips from everyone just in order to win a refrigerator that was up for auction, or that was the winning prize. And in the episode Money, he basically explains that he never goes bankrupt. He holds a U.S. passport issued to the name William Charles Schneider. So he does have an alternate identity. So you never know. Maybe Creed Bratton isn't the Scranton Strangler, but maybe William Charles Schneider is. That's my case, and I'll leave it up to the listeners to be the jury on that.
Well, yep. I don't think that William Charles Schneider is not the Scranton Strangler. They actually named who the Scranton Strangler is at one point, and it's George Howard Scubb.
I did not know that.
Yeah, George Howard Scubb is the Scranton Strangler, but maybe that's Toby's version of Hannah Montana.
Alternate name.
Yeah, it's his alter ego. It's his version exactly. of Hannah Montana. So I think you just need to keep on watching The Office and finish the whole series. You know, have about 2.5 more seasons to go. But thanks again for the question, Carrie. For all of you who want to get some advice from Brian about anything that's happening in your life, or, you know, office advice as well, write us a direct message on Facebook and we will have Brian answer them in a upcoming episode.
All right, so wrapping up this podcast, just don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the iTunes Store or Google Play Music Store, so new episodes will be available for you as soon as we release new content.
We're almost to 250 total listens on our podcast, and so we can't wait to break that, and we'll let you know how many total listens we're at next week. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/sassstorysarcasm with no hyphens or spaces or anything. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening.